Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. Please join us or just listen in as we discuss the inappropriate and harsh treatment and sentencing of the incarcerated individuals in U.S. prisons. Why are there more than 2.3 million Americans, the highest incarceration rate in the world, with New Hampshire and Maine ranking in the top three for safety? Today we will examine the causes of crime, the factors leading to many wrongfully convicted, many first-time offenders, victims who became offenders, profits made from large corporations, by corporations, and the Department of Corrections nationwide. Why are prisoners forced to double cell when receiving life and life without parole sentencing? Caged like animals and forced to share small cells with another lifer, when in fact they should have their own cells. They need to start looking into these prisons and releasing a lot of these cases that do not need to be in prison. We have people in prison who are wrongfully convicted. We have first-time offenders. We have victims who became offenders. And I can see why. We're living in a world where there's so much hatred, so much anger, so much frustration, so much racism. We are the only country in the world that is so dysfunctional. We are going to be holding an event every single day in the whole month of June 2023, making phone calls to the media outlets, legislative members, and governors in particular in every state, those who have the power to start releasing a lot of these individuals. I want to thank those of you who have been doing your own research and sending me the information you've been sending me on the contact list for the people that we need to make these calls to. I want to thank you all for doing that. I have reached out to people who have been talking a lot and doing nothing, so I appreciate all that you have been doing. I would like for you to spread the word, to try to bring more in, to try to do this research, because we have about 4 or 5 weeks left to pull this all together. I will say as well that there are people in other organizations and groups that are going to be signing on with us, that are going to be making these calls, that are going to be writing these letters, that are going to be emailing. So if everyone is sincere and serious about what they plan on doing, this should be a successful June 2023 event. We also need to remember the event that's taking place in July. Emily Shelton is planning her event, and it's going to be July 22nd, and they are going to be, and I believe also it's 21 and 22 as well, they are going to be, their issues will be addressed on high rates of suicide and deaths behind those prison walls, denied education, religious and vocational access, weeks without any chance to leave their cells, cell floors wet with human waste and urine from flooding, cell fires, lack of access to outside recreation, inadequate medical care. They are seeking unity through activism to demand real and progressive change and solidarity. And that's what we are asking as well. I want to bring up the fact that, first of all, and I bring this up every time we have a show, is the fact of the death penalty. Mike Farrell from Death Penalty Focus is trying to, their group is working on abolishing the death penalty. They were talking about the possibility of using life and life without parole as alternatives. However, I have been interviewing people from other countries who have spoken about life and life without parole in their countries. And their countries do not have the harsh sentences that we do. They do not have life and life without parole unless it involves terrorism, mass murders, serial killings. We have people incarcerated in the United States who may have committed a fatal crime, but it doesn't demonstrate that they are serial killers or that they are mass murderers or that they are terrorists. People are stereotyped if behind prison walls. The media continuously reports one-sided stories. They can go to other countries, war-infested countries, to find out what's going on between the countries that are at war. And yet they can't even go into their own country's prisons, penal system, to find out what's going on. There was an incident at Bristol this past week, and they showed all these people being brought out of prison. They showed the damage that was done by the incarcerated individuals there. They listened to what the prison COs or officials said happened, and they started immediately reporting it. Did they think to go in and ask what happened? Ask those who were alleged to have done all this to ask them what happened? Because I have heard from prisoners in doing national advocacy work, prisoners around the country who have gotten so frustrated because they have things they need to talk to people about, legislative members and the media, yet they're not called upon. Families Against Mandatory Minimums has consistently requested from all of us to reach out to our legislative members and try to get them to go into the prisons at least once or twice a year and meet with these incarcerated individuals, hear their stories. There was a riot in 2020. After the riot ended, they moved those incarcerated individuals out of that prison into another prison. And then they went on an unprovoked attack against all prisoners, landing many prisoners in the hospital, many in the hole. Many moved off their block into the very block that was causing or created the riot in the first place. Prisoners need to be heard, and the media is wrong if they can go to other countries and stick their noses in other countries' business and wars to get information, yet they can't even go into the prisons in their own country, but they will report one-sided stories, not allowing these individuals incarcerated to have a voice. The death penalty. Again, who in their right mind is going to punish someone for murdering when they are murdering themselves? What kind of government is that? We have a government that says, do what I say and not as I do. And what did it say in the Bible? Christ said, don't do as they say, don't do as they do. We have a dysfunctional country that we are living in. And the ones that are suffering the most are behind those prison walls, are in the streets, homeless, are at the bottom. While these people that are supposed to be so educated with all these degrees, leading a country with all kinds of unfortunate circumstances inside, and they will be quick to go and visit all these other countries, and yet they can't take care of their business at home. Leaders talking about criminal justice reform, yet not even meeting with the incarcerated individuals to find out what needs to be reformed. I give credit to some politicians in Massachusetts who have actually made the move to visit those inside. The problem? The problem when legislative members go into these prisons, they give notice. And when they give notice, the Department of Corrections is always prepared and they get their act together. What needs to happen is that legislative members need to go in unannounced, randomly, and meet with the incarcerated individuals. These large corporations using prisons for profit in the United States, they're making billions and billions of dollars off these incarcerated individuals who, if fortunate enough to get a job, are making less than a dollar a day. Some not even 90 cents, some not even 50 cents. But these large corporations are making a lot of money. Who is overseeing them? Who is overseeing the prison? Who is overseeing the overseers? We need to think about what's happening. We need to think about what's happening. So when it comes down to June 2023, major and mass calls will be made to the media outlets. The contact information has been circulated throughout Facebook and will continue to be circulated. And I ask everyone, when you get those contact information, those addresses, start a file. Start collecting these addresses, these telephone numbers, and these emails. Save it, because we know that there is posting all the time, every second of the day, going into social media. So all these contacts, if you don't keep them in a file or in a list, you'll lose track of them. And when the time comes, you'll be scattering all over the place to find them. I want to thank all of you who have been consistent, who have been there. Sometimes I feel as though people, just to have an ear to talk to, will be so quick to want to assist or help. And yet, when you can't answer a phone or you can't respond right away, attitudes are caught. And I'm not about mothering anyone or pleasing anyone. Our focus should be on what we're trying to focus on, and that is prison reform. That is the upcoming event. That is our sons and daughters that are behind those prison walls. Don't start something today and decide to stop tomorrow. Too many people have complained about all the injustices going on in this country. And yet, they do a lot of talking, no action. And I'm hoping that all of you will be willing to stay on the right track, keep the focus on what we're going to be doing. So again, the death penalty makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense to punish someone for murder when you're going to punish somebody by murder yourself because you're in leadership roles. Life and life without parole, the only country in the world that has life and life without parole for first-time offenders wrongfully convicted, for victims who became offenders, that makes no sense. But then again, we're back to these large corporations making money off of them, so we can understand why the Department of Corrections around the country is so quick and the parole boards are so quick to keep these people incarcerated. We have addictions in the United States of mental illnesses and substance abuse. Mental illness is a serious thing in this country that needs to be addressed. And these contracted providers being hired by the Department of Corrections because they're cheaper, are not experienced, they're not adequate, they're causing permanent damage to people. There's major lawsuits against many of them, and yet the Department of Corrections still keeps them on board. Donna Wynette from the Family, Friends, and Individuals for the Mentally Ill has been working ceaselessly to get rid of these contracted providers and bring in the Department of Mental Health providers, bring in American Psychological Association, hopefully bring in NAMI, National Alliance for Mentally Ill, hopefully bring in these hospitals, these doctors, these nurses from major hospitals in each state to do independent work with the incarcerated. I don't know about you, but we always seem to be getting requests to do studies with these hospitals that are looking for volunteers, to volunteer to study where they will get a stipend or they will get monies for these experiments, dementia, Alzheimer's, heart problems, mental illnesses. They're always looking for volunteers. We need to contact them, and we need to have them going into the prisons, offering the monies to the prisoners to do these experiments. Many of them are not dangerous. Many of them doesn't even seem that they're asking you to do a lot, just to participate in their studies. We need to look at all of these things, and we need to defund. The Department of Corrections around the country, until and unless there's transparency in the demonstration and interaction between the prisoners and the staff. I know for a fact, as many of you advocates know, that the Department of Corrections consists of many liars as overseers. Legislative members have caught them in lies and yet have not challenged them. Many people looking at the incarcerated individuals that are doing nothing as being lazy or not motivated, when in fact these individuals have been targeted and are prevented from participating in any programs. And the reason for that is if and when they ever do get a chance to go up for parole, they will have nothing to show for what they have done during that entire time they've been incarcerated. Many prisoners of color make up the majority of the population of mass incarceration in the United States. People talk about how they're tired of hearing about racism, and yet there's no one there to even look into these issues. We look at these incarcerated individuals who are asking to have certain guards or prison officials removed from their blocks or their units, only to be told they're going to have to deal with it. They're not going to move them. We all know that officials and correctional officers are human beings, and they can make mistakes as well. And they can also have those that are criminal-like as well. So when you have a number of people incarcerated asking to remove some guards or a guard, then I think it's time that they do it. And the American Civil Liberties Union, advertising all over their websites that they are there for civil rights matters, that they advocate for prisoners, that's a crock of bull. And the American Civil Liberties Union is another one that needs to be mass contacted to ask them, to challenge them, because the American Civil Liberties Union is just about talk. I have not spoken with any incarcerated individual in all these years that can actually say the American Civil Liberties Union did anything positive for them, but yet they ask for funding. They ask for monies. We have certain lawyers in this country who are working at both ends. They're working with the Department of Corrections, and they're working with those who financially hire them, retain them. So they're making money from their clients while getting donations or some kind of funding behind the scenes from the DOC. So again, defunding the DOC, abolishing life and life without parole, ending the death penalty, bringing in independent providers to go into the prisons rather than the contracted providers who have already caused so much permanent damage to so many incarcerated. We need to look at the prisons themselves and how they house incarcerated individuals. There would be less crime, less unfortunate incidents or events happening behind those prison walls if the prison officials, the Department of Corrections, was to house accordingly. Elderly prisoners, 50 and over, should be in separate prisons, separate blocks, and separate units. Gang members should be in separate prisons or separate blocks and separate units. The youth should be in separate prisons, separate blocks. The young to middle-aged should have their own prisons. If they were to do this, there would be so much less crime. And unfortunately, this isn't happening. If you have a loved one inside that you want to see safer, then you need to step up to the plate and join us in June to make these calls. No one should be thrown into prisons like cattle amongst the most violent, nor should they be thrown into prison with gang members, nor should gang members be thrown into prisons with their rivals. this is another issue that needs to be addressed. The locations of where these incarcerated people should be held. Sending incarcerated people further and further away from their loved ones, when in fact they should be trying to bring them closer. I remember one time a prisoner that was transferred out of state because they say the prisoner's life was threatened. That prisoner was out of state for some time. They sent him out right away so that he didn't even get to be at his own appeal from his trial. They brought in a public defender who took the case. When the prisoner, the incarcerated individual, asked that defender, public defender, if he could wait until they transferred him back, the public defender went ahead with it anyway, and it was denied. They have a habit of doing things like that, moving people around so that they cannot be at their own appeals, putting people in the hole when an individual or individuals have to file their own lawsuits, civil rights lawsuits, because they can't obtain a lawyer. So they wait, the Department of Correction officials wait until several months into an appeal. Then they put the person, or the lawsuit, then they put the person in the hole, file a grievance to have the case dismissed. After it's dismissed, the individuals are let out of the hole. These are the things that are happening in the United States of America. There was an incident everyone knows of at the Capitol, the January 6th insurrection. If that had been people from another country, like the Middle East or Africa, that had done that in this country, they would be in prison for life. They would be tormented and tortured. They wouldn't get a slap on the hand. Two to four years in prison, not lose their voting rights, and then be released. Our leaders are that concerned about the United States of America that they can allow that to go really unaddressed, mainly because they're afraid. They're afraid of the supporters of the previous president. It's been 7 years they've been fighting or working on this, and yet they have done absolutely nothing. They will take first-time offenders, or they will take wrongfully convicted, or they will take victims who became offenders, and they think nothing. They think twice. They don't think twice about giving them a 3 to 7 day trial, throw them in prison for life and life without or death row. And yet, it's taken 7 years. What is this all about? I have no respect anymore for our legislative members. They carry a title and a position. But who are they actually working for? Who are they actually helping? Now, I know the United States of America has a federal prison, which the president can pardon anybody he wants or everybody he wants if they're in a federal prison. But yet in state prisons, it's left up mainly to the governors in each state. So I'm asking all of you, every day for the entire month of June, either send emails, write letters, make phone calls to your governors. As a matter of fact, make these calls, write these letters and email, even if they're not in your state, to support those who are in their other states and let others support your state. Let them know why it's important for them to look at emptying some of these cells, reducing mass incarceration, getting rid of life without parole and life sentences, and start acting and using the models, the European models, for sentencing. This country at one time was the most powerful. Now this country is a farce. This country is laughed at. by people in every other country. We have advocates in other countries that are actually advocating for the American incarcerated when we have people in this country that can't even write a letter. They can't even make a phone call. They're stereotyped. They judge. Other countries are looking at the Nazi-built institutions in this country. They're looking at everything that goes on. Everything. So what I'd like to do is have all of you, once again, for the month of June, make phone calls, write letters, send emails, even if only five calls a day or five emails a day, every day, because you won't be alone. There'll be so many other thousands doing the same thing. And don't think that if you don't do it, others will, because if everybody thought the same way, it wouldn't get done. We have people around the country in groups, organizations, that are actually going to be trying to help us. Let's show them how serious we are. Let's show them how serious you are. Because I know I've been on this show every single time I can to talk about these issues. And we only want the serious ones. We don't need somebody that does a lot of talking and yet does do nothing. I've actually did the research for people in other states that claim they were going to work with us. I've done the research for them. Those especially who brag about what they used to do or they do now. So let's unite in solidarity and let's prepare for June 2023, mass calls, emails, and letter writing. I know that there's so much that everybody wants to do, those of you who have loved ones inside. I know that it means a lot to you to see them someday free, to see them doing well, to see them not hurting. As I say, prisoners shouldn't be stereotyped. They should be respected just like any of us. They should have the opportunity to tell their side of the story. I, for one, know how lies can build up. And even sometimes friends will deceive you. Friends who once couldn't understand why you couldn't come to them when you were having problems or when you were depressed or when you were so down and out. And yet they failed to go into the prison or prisons to ask you personally, why didn't you come to me? Why didn't you tell me what was going on? These are not friends. A lot of times people will turn their backs on you because they're jealous. They're jealous of what you were before you stumbled. You were doing so much better than them, and now you stumble. So to them, this is great because now they're looking good. Oh, I'm sure a lot of you can agree with me on that. So we need to look at all of these things. We really need to look at all of these things. And we need to try to share what is going to be going on in June. We need to try to support the cause. We need to be there for the July event as well. And we need to pick up their phone, turn their computer on, write those letters, and let's see what happens, because the media will let us know if this is a success, because they will be talking about it on the news. They will be talking about the mass calls. So I am going to close this today because I've had a long day and I have another interview later, not on the show though. So we will be picking this up tomorrow. We will once again have on with us Mariam Jacobs, psychosocial therapist and author of Suspended Values, actually, and Concentration in Prisons. She will be with us. She will be talking also about all these things that are taking place and about the work that she's doing. She has been an advocate. She has been awesome. She has been available whenever possible to come on the show and talk about these things, talk about the comparison between the U.S. prisons and prisons in the Netherlands and other countries. So we will have her on with us tomorrow, and I hope all of you will join us because it's going to be a big event. We have a highest power, the highest power working with us and leading us to this great event that's going to be taking place. Let's make it a historical event so that we will know that there is hope for all incarcerated individuals, mainly those who have been tormented, tortured, deprived, provoked, harassed, just totally punishment on top of punishment. So thank you all for listening in, and we look forward to having you on with us tomorrow. Thank you so much. Again, Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light, signing off at this point in time.